As Clark said a few minutes ago, we're glad that you're here. This morning we're going to take a look at a few of these things from the book of James that Jay just read concerning wisdom and what it would mean to be wise and what it does mean for us to be wise through listening to God's Word. Before we get into the lesson, however, I would like to reiterate what Clark said earlier about our visitors. We're glad that you're here, and then we're thankful you're here, and you're always welcome at Beulah, and urge you to come back if you have an opportunity. We do have a number of people out today for various reasons, and some that are traveling, some that are sick, and I won't get into all that, but I would encourage you to follow along in your Bibles this morning as we study, and if you have any questions about anything that's said or done, feel free to ask me when the service is over, because it'll be my effort and my desire at this time to teach the Word of God and teach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I want to lead us in the right way, lead us in God's will. And the way we are led in God's way is to listen to His Word and listen to His instructions and apply those things to our life so that we can serve Him faithfully. Just a couple of notes before we begin our lesson. In a good way, I have my nephew and his wife here today. I'll just go ahead and say my nephew and my niece here today. And we don't get to see them very often. And when you have someone that comes around and you get to see family, it's always good to know that they're with you and have an opportunity to be together. But I'd like for you to meet them when the services are over. They do live in Georgia. Tony was originally from Alabama and grew up as a small boy in Coleman County and then moved away at a young age and has been back and forth. But he's been gone for several years and still in Georgia. But we're glad that you're here. I normally don't make very many remarks of a personal nature, but I will at this time. Bear with me. In my family, as my mother and my dad, and I was the youngest. And I guess, Barry, I was the spoilt one. The youngest one's always the spoilt one, right? But anyway, from the distance from my oldest brother to the second and third brother, and down to me, there's a big gap. I mean, there's a lot of years difference. And so I was just a little guy when my oldest brother moved away from home and went into service. And I was still just a little fellow. Barely remember when the next one that moved away, because they were just like stair step, 1, 2, 3. And then the next one moved away. And I can remember that clearly, but I was just a little lad, and they were 19, 20 years old or so. And so Tony belongs to my third brother from the top. And he and another nephew is and a niece, they are just like that, although they belong to three different brothers. My point is that I was so young that I know Tony doesn't look near as old as I do, but I was so young when they were born that I feel like he's my little brother. And so sometimes that happens. I think Jan Farley has a nephew that's older than him. So anyway, it's good to have family with us. But we're here today to worship God and involve in the worship of remembering Him and His Son and glorifying Him today. But in James chapter 3, as we go back to what was read earlier, we see that it's important to understand about being a wise man. And in our world in which we live today, we see that a lot of people are seeking wisdom. They're seeking after things that will not make them wise. They're seeking after worldly things, material things, physical things, financial things that within themselves cannot make us wise. And there are people today who classify certain people and certain things as being wise people. And when in reality they are not wise in the sight of God. They may be wise in the sight of man, but perhaps not in God. So our responsibility and understanding that we are made in God's image, that He is our Creator, that we live and move and everything that we have comes from God, and He's blessed us in all spiritual blessings with Christ Jesus, that as His children, we look to His Word so that we can understand about wisdom. And it's a good question, who is a wise man? And certainly, most people would like to know about wisdom and who is wise. And so to think about what James said in James chapter 3, we go back to the text and we see that, first of all, that James tells us in James chapter 3 that a wise man is one who lives a good life. James answered the question. He said, let him show out of a good life or out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. James chapter 3 and verse 13. So a man that is wise is one who will live a good life. And how do we know what a good life is? We go to the good book and we look at what God has said our life ought to be in the manner of the way we think, the way we talk, the way we treat others, the things we do, the places we go, the things we're involved in. Those things are all important. And so when we serve God and do His will and obey Him, and we live a good life according to what God has asked us to do. And by doing that, that makes us a wise person. Because James says, the wise man then is one who lives a good life. We see from this phrase that James makes the importance of being wise toward God's Word and being understanding and learning what God would have us to do so that I can apply these words of God to my life and you can apply them to your life so that we can live in wisdom. And if we apply God's wisdom to our life, then we will live a good life. We will treat others fairly. We will not indulge in things that we ought not to indulge in. We'll keep our life pure and we'll believe in God and serve Him and do His will. How can we gain wisdom and know how to live in the sight of God? Well, the Bible does all that for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul talks about the Word of God and the Scriptures. He says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Word of God can do that for us if we will reach in and study it. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. So we need to study that Word that's given by inspiration of God that can guide us into all truth. We need to desire that Word. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, Peter says that we should desire the sincereness of the Word that you may grow thereby. So the Word of God is there for us. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 5 describe the Word of God and what it can do for us. So if we'll read the Word, we'll study the Word and apply it to our life, we can be a wise person by living a good life and letting the Word of God guide us in that life. It's very important. So I want to be wise. I know you want to be wise. But we need to seek it in the right place. And once we find and understand what God wants and we live it out, we can be wise people by living a good life. A good life is one that's no longer conformed to the world and the sin and the things of the world. A man that's wise will live a good life. He will show by a good conversation or by his good actions, by his deeds, that he's a wise man because he's letting God's Word direct his deeds. And that's what I need to do, work toward living a good life in keeping with the will of God. How can I live a good life, and how can you live a good life, and how can we be wise in that? Well, it's simply stated in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, that when we are baptized into Christ, we are buried with Him in baptism. And when we arise out of baptism, we arise to walk in newness of life. Having been planted together with Him in baptism, we become a child of God. And rising out to walk in newness of life, we are God's child. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says the life of the newborn child of God, the newborn Christian, is going to be different than he was before because we're going to put on Christ and we're going to listen to the Word of God and let it apply to our life. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So if I want to live a good life, if you want to live a good life, if we want to be wise in the life we're living, we put off the ways of the world, the sins of the world, the things of the world, and we transform our life according to the Word of God, and we walk in the light of God, and we will be wise people for doing that. We do that by seeking God, Matthew 6:33. Seeking first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We seek God, we seek His Word, and when we have it, we obey it, we can live a good life. Colossians 3:1-2, set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. So to live a good life, we have to understand that the things in this life are just things that we use while passing through. Food, clothing, shelter, the substance of life, the things we have, because we're going to a better place when we live wisely in obeying God and having found salvation in Christ. So to live a good life means that we're going to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. The whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments. So living a good life is putting off the ways of the world, putting on the ways of Christ, and putting on Christ. And if we have put on Christ, we have put on the things that God wants us to do to have a wise and good life that we can live. Well, second, let me go to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1 and Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. And we see that a wise person is one who respects their parents. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, we see that he says, a wise son heareth his father's instructions. When men of God, when men fear God and love God and obey God, and they instruct their children according to God's word, that son will listen to his father and the word and listen to what God wants him to do and respect his father. A wise son will listen to his father, not respect him, not disregard him, and not trying to get away from him, but will respect the glad father who is serving God himself. Now, sometimes there are fathers who get their priorities wrong and they get their life mixed up and they're not right with God, and they may give their children the wrong advice. But Proverbs is talking about, and Solomon is saying, is that a wise son heareth the sayings of his father. That's a father that's leading him in the way that God would want him to go. Because after all, children obey their parents, but when? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So parents who are in the Lord, parents who are living according to God's will, who are leading their children and bringing them up, they're doing good for their children. And children then who will listen to godly parents and hear them are those who are wise. Proverbs 15 and verse 5, he says, a fool despiseth his father's correction. So he puts the level there. There's a difference in a fool and a wise man. A wise man heareth his father's instructions, but the one who does not hear despiseth his father's instruction, and he's a fool. So we don't want to be classified in that left category. We want to be classified in the wise one. And that would be to listen to our parents. Those who are children, listen to his father's instructions and obey the will of God. A matter of fact, to be a wise child and listen to our parents then should be people who would teach us in the right way. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, Solomon said, tramp a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So the duty of the mother and the daddy is to bring up a child the way God wants them to go and the way they should go, to set a good example for them and bring them up in the Lord. And the duty of that son then is to hear the instruction of his father so he will be wise. I can look back over the years and see a few times when I was a teenager that I wish that I had listened to my father's instruction more than I did. Most of the time I did, but like some teenagers, there were times when I kind of veered away a little bit, and after it was over, I wished I had listened to my father, because we learn our lessons most of the time. Sad sometimes when someone doesn't learn their lessons, but a wise man respects his parents and loves their parents. Not just as we are small and when we're growing up, but as we grow older and our parents grow older, if our parents live to be old, We will respect our parents and help our parents and care for our parents. Just this past week, at the Council on Aging, I was talking to a lady, and I was sharing this with David Chapman before services this morning, about 10 after 9. So there's a lady who works with older people, like myself, and older. But anyway, that's what she does for a living, the Council on Aging. Did you know there are 65,000 older people in the state of Alabama that make less than $1,200 a month, who have to depend on SNAP cards to just have milk and juice. They have no children. They have no family. She said, Charles, some days I come in here and those folks come in and they ask for help. And they can't even sign a check. They have nobody. And if it wasn't for the free food and the hot meals and the thing they can get, they wouldn't have anything. But what about the parents who do have children? Who have children who have health? Who have children who have jobs? Who have children who have possessions? Who have children who do have income? Are we helping our parents as we should? When our parents get old,
They can't do what they could when they were 40, 45, 50 years old. Do we help our parents? Or are we going to help our parents as they grow up? Some of you have parents who are getting older. Don't forget your parents as they grow old. When their eyes grow dim and their hearing grows dim and it fears them to walk down two steps. Hard to walk up a step. When they can't see at night to drive like they could. A wise son.
A wise person will respect your parents. A wise man is one who hearkens to counsel. We talked a little bit about obeying their parents, but hearkens to counsel. It's good sometimes that we listen. Number one, it's always good to hear to the counsel of God. Hearken to the counsel of God. But sometimes there are those who know more than we do. They're smarter than we are. They're older than we are. They're more mature than we are. They're experienced in life more than we are. They have more knowledge of God's Word than we do. And they try to counsel us. They try to instruct us and warn us and tell us we need to hearken to good counsel. That means we need to listen to and apply what we're hearing and take heed to the counsel we're receiving. Listen to good instruction. A wise man will do that. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Again, he goes to comparison. A way of a fool is one who thinks he's right in his own eyes, but the wise man will what? He will listen to good counsel. So we need to listen to good counsel from God's Word. We need to listen to good counsel from our parents and those that are older who have wisdom. But I know it's not easy to do that sometimes, because sometimes you talk to people a certain age or a certain caliber and you try to give them some good advice and they just shrug their shoulders and say, I don't know what he's talking about. He's crazy. I'm not going to listen to him. I was talking to a young man a couple of years ago about some things. And I tried to explain to him about this situation of life and how things are. And he just kind of made light of it. As if to say, I know. But you know, now he's beginning to realize he didn't know. He's beginning to acknowledge the important things in life. So a wise person will listen to good counsel. Good advice doesn't come easy. And when we get it, we need to hold on to it. Listen to counsel. A wise man is one who refrains his lips. Simply means that he controls his tongue. Think before he speaks. Thinks about his word before he says them. He's careful how he says things to others. Refrains his lips. Hold back. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. Again, Solomon says, he that refraineth his lips is wise. He that thinketh before he speaks is wise. He that holds back his words before he talks out of hand, out of place, is wise. That's simply what he's saying. I've already said over the years that a person who's not very wise is soon recognized by his speech or his actions. And certainly that may be so. But a wise man can be recognized by how he handles himself in conversation to others. I'm not talking about necessarily political correctness or proper speech, because if that would be the case, I wouldn't be in the pulpit today. But I'm talking about someone who will be careful about the words they say and use words in the right perspective. Hold back words that ought not to be. Think before we speak. Proverbs 17 verse 28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind. So it's not wise to always say everything we think. It may not be wise to always speak quickly, because we may speak harshly and out of hand if we do. We need to be careful how we speak. We need to watch what we say. A little song we sing, watch your hands, what they do, your eyes, what they see, your tongue, what it says. So we need to be careful. We refrain our lips and make sure that we speak the things that God would have us to speak. Speak the truth always. And speak words that are good and acceptable in the sight of God and for all people.
People who don't refrain their lips can get in some big trouble. This week on the job, and it started this past week, early in the week, and it lasted all week long, James. And the last word was about 2:30 Friday afternoon. We had our last word with these people. We had a meeting with that. Two people, three people, four people, and then two more people, and then the last meeting was four people. Over one man and one woman who couldn't get along on the job. She was mouthing to him, he was mouthing to her. He said some degrading things to her, she said some degrading things to him. And in the workplace, that's how it creates a hostile environment. That's politically correct. So you have to deal with that, you have to document everything, or the company you work for will get sued if it's not handled correctly. But needless to say, James, it all falls right down to this one thing. And both of them understand that now. At least if they don't, they won't have a job very long. But if they understand it and they control their lips, they can continue to work. If not, they need to refrain their lips. But the point is, saying things about people, speaking things before thinking, saying things that ought not to be said, we need to be careful. First of all, our thoughts need to be pure. And our words need to be all but the other way. We need to always be honest about things we do. But the best way to do that is have an honest and pure heart. Serve God and look to His Word so that we can be careful about what we say. A wise man is one who fears evil and departs from it. Proverbs 14 and verse 6. Notice that. One who fears evil and departs from it. A wise man fears evil and will depart from it. Let's back up a step. One who wins souls. Don't want to get past that. That's very important. One who wins souls, Proverbs 11 and 30. He who winneth souls is wise. The Bible has several different things it talks about and ties in with being a wise person. My responsibility as a Christian, your responsibility as a Christian, is that we would share the gospel of Christ with others. Number one, by being a good example. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and that you may glorify God which is in heaven. Be a good example. Share the Word of God. Share Jesus the Savior and salvation through Him with others. Invite others to study. Invite others to serve. Invite others to obey God. Invite others to hear the Word of God. What is it that's going to save a soul? Well, God saves our souls through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are saved through the grace and mercy of God. But how do we come to the understanding of how to save our soul? Well, Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing come by the Word of God. Is faith in God important? It certainly is. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So before I can come to God and save my soul, I need to believe God, and believe in God, and believe it enough to obey God. But how am I going to know that? Well, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I need to get in the book. You need to get in the book, and we need to come in understanding what's in that book, and believe it, and then obey it, so we can be saved. So if we save our soul, then who is wise needs to save the souls of others by sharing the Word of God with others. Jesus knew the importance of sharing the Word of God with others to win their souls, because without it, souls cannot be saved. Matthew 28:19-20, it said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do. Jesus Himself commanded that His apostles and His disciples go out and do what? Preach the gospel. What does obedience to the gospel do? It saves souls, because it puts us in contact with the blood of Christ when we obey. The gospel is important. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and the salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of God to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, if we want to be wise, we'll grasp that Word of God and we'll obey it ourselves, and we'll go out and win souls and bring them to God through obedience to the gospel. Well, very quickly, we have about two more points this morning. A wise man is one who fears evil and departs from it. Proverbs 14 and verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. This this verse does not indicate that a man ought not to be a man. A man ought not to be willing to stand up for what's right, because a man should stand up for what's right. But he's pointing out that there's evil out there. There's evil around us. There's things that we ought not to engage in. There's that side of darkness of life that will take us and trip us up. We need to be careful about what we involve in. So we need to be afraid of evil. Because evil will hurt us. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33 says, evil communications corrupt good morals. Running with people with the wrong attitude, with the wrong activities, can get us involved in the same thing. And before you know, we're caught up in it. We need to fear evil and shun evil. We need to shun evil companions. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. You may say, Charles, that'd be hard to do in this day and time. It will be hard to do. It's always hard to do. But the man that's wise is one who has his radar up and he's thinking about God's Word and what God wants him to do. And when he sees evil happening and evil things going on and things are not right, he won't go over and mix with it and get involved in it and let it overcome him. He'll try to lead that person out of it. So we need to fear evil because of what it can do to us. Evil can corrupt good morals and we need to depart from it. Well, who is a wise man? It's one who hears and obeys God. We'll just paraphrase this. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 talks about the wise man, the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came. And the floods came. And the storms came. And the wise man's house stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came, and the winds blew, and the storms came. And great was the fall thereof. Who is the wise man? He goes on then and he says, he, the wise man then, is one who listened to and obeyed God. That's the wise man. Build ourselves on the rock, the solid rock, Jesus Christ, on the foundation, the Word of God. Build on that Word of God and hear and obey what He says. Matthew chapter 7. Go back to verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. He goes on to talk about that man that built his house on the rock and did what God asked him to do, and his house stood firm. A wise man will build on the rock, the solid rock of the gospel, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And we're wise, we'll hear and obey the Lord. Well, the last point of the lesson this morning is this. If I want to be wise and you want to be wise, we need to apply all these things the Bible says wherein we can be wise people. But it says that a wise man is one who is prepared. Matthew chapter 25 verses 1 through 13, there were people who went, the five virgins that were wise and five were foolish. They came in the night waiting on the bridegroom. Five came a lamps, five came a lamps, and five had oil in the lamps, and five did not have enough oil, and five of them ran out. And while they went back to get oil, the bridegroom came, the door was shut, and they didn't go in. Jesus taught that story to let us know that Jesus could come at any day or any hour. And we need to be prepared to meet Him. The ones who were not prepared, Jesus says, those that were prepared, who had oil in their lamps, and they waited on the Master, and He came, they went in with Him. And those who were not prepared failed because they were busy doing something else, because they were not prepared for His coming. The wise person prepares his or herself for the coming of God, for the coming of Jesus, for the end of time. That may happen in a different way. It may happen when we die and leave this earth, because there will be no more opportunity to change once we're gone. Hebrews 9 verse 27. It's an appointed man wants to die and after this the judgment. It may happen when Jesus comes again. He may come again to this earth and judge the world and be the end of time, and we may be transformed in a moment and twinkling and by and the dead in Christ raised first, and all nations will be judged before Him. And some will hear Him say, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire, never knew you. But those that are prepared and have done what He said will hear Him say, come the blessed of my Father, enter the joy of the Lord. Are we prepared? Are we prepared? Well, this is just a short list this morning. But it's a list of things that are in the Bible about wise people. And you hear a lot today about people wanting to be wise. You have people going to school, choosing a college, choosing a trade school, going to elite schools, going to places and trying to fill their mind with knowledge. Knowledge is one thing. But wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge we've learned correctly. We may know about God. And we may know what He says.
But until we actually apply it and do what he says by faith, it won't do us any good. A wise man hears God and obeys him. Are we wise? If so, we're going to listen to God and we're going to obey him. We don't need to leave today being someone who's unwise by turning down God's offer for salvation. Hope the lesson will help us all as we go forward in the next week to look to God's Word for guidance, to work to be the kind of people He'd want us to be. And if we do that, we can be wise in the sight of God. If you're here this morning and you have something we can help you with, correct in your life, we're going to offer the song of invitation. And if you need to respond, we urge you to do so while we stand and while we sing.